Testing 1, 2. Knots on. That's power. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. There's deliverance in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. There's power in the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. This is something about his name. There's something about his name. Hallelujah. I tell you, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. And thank you for coming and being a part of the service this morning and setting the trend for your life this week on a positive note. Amen. You know, we've had all that water last week, rain. Thank God for his mercy and grace. We've gotten through graduations. We've gotten through life. Amen. Praise the Lord. Our God is a good God, people. Don't ever forget that. Don't ever. My brother had surgery. Everything went well. And so he's on the mend as far as with colon. Now he's going to be in there for about a week. And then he'll go for radiation treatment for his lung cancer. So, but God is good no matter what. We serve a good God, people. Don't ever live by circumstances, because you'll be up and down every day. What you live by is faith in Christ and what he did at Calvary's cross. Your faith anchored in him says you can face anything and everything every day. And God will be with you no matter what. No matter what. Well, before we get too far into his word, Mr. Hector will remind me, we need to make our declaration first. Say, this is life. I will honor it today as this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. I want you to turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter 5, please. Matthew chapter 5. Amen. Matthew chapter 5. Look at verse 14. Now, we know this, but we just need to be reminded sometimes from the scripture. That's why you never say, well, I've read that before, I've heard that before. Never say that. That's good, but you always need to be reminded about the scripture. That's why a lot of times scriptures will be repeated continuously. Matthew might say it, Mark might say it, John might say it, and he might say it in Hebrews too, whatever. So, but we need to know the scripture, and you read the scriptures over and over, people. You know, nowadays you have churches saying, you don't even need to bring your Bibles to church. Don't ever do that. Bring your Bibles or your phones, whatever it is, just a copy of the Word of God. Bring your Bibles to church, because you have to know that what I'm saying and what I'm reading is accurate with the Word of God. And you need to see it. There's something about seeing it here, but there's something about seeing it in your own Word that becomes alive unto you. Get in that Word continuously. Let the Spirit of the Lord work within your heart and in your life. You might say, well, Pastor, you know, I've heard different pastors say many different things about how much I need to read and whatever. You know, that's one thing. I never put a limit or say you have to do this or that. I always say you need to read some every day. You know, you might read a chapter, 2, 3, 4, you know, and you get great things, but you might read 1 or 2 verses that just stick with you. And you stop, and you go back and you read it again, and you stop and you concentrate on that. That's just as much good as reading 2, 3, 4 chapters a day. But get it in you. Get that word in you. Because that word will stop us. Because if you know the word of God, and you know what God expects of us, and you know his limitations on things, and you know what the word says about what is right and what is wrong, that will stop us from doing certain things. Because we'll often say, well, the word of God says this, so you got to go in this other direction. You don't have to pray about it. If the word says it, you don't have to pray about it. Just listen to the word. If it says not to do something, you don't do it. Amen. Now, if it says to do something, you do it. Amen. You know, I don't find it that hard to understand that, you know. But we have to read it, get it in our spirits, get it in our hearts. And I know sometimes it can be a little, you know, when you start reading about names. This one begot this one, and that one begot that, and you go, okay. Let's go to the end. But and I understand that. But it's still very important, because people know the lineage of Jesus. And they know the lineage of Joseph. They know the lineage of Mary. And they see how it comes together and how God brings it together and how Jesus became of those two. I mean, as far as the lineage part. And it's very interesting to know. But get in that word. Seek it out. Find things in it that just stir up your spirit, man. Come on, people. Start stirring things up. Yes, don't become a dead human being. Dead, but yet alive. Just alive. Become alive to the Spirit of God. Become alive to the things of God. Asking God to stir those things that are in us. Remember this, when you got saved, God put himself in you. When you look at it that way, it's kind of like, wow. God put himself by the Holy Spirit inside of us, and we accepted him as our God, our Lord, and our Savior. Doing the things that he desires in us and asking God to take those things out, huh, that need to be taken out. Amen. And it's a big surgery for all of us. Yes, but that's a good thing. That's what he, you know, Jesus didn't get a bargain here. I mean, really. You know, we got all of the word and more. And he just got us. And we think, oh God, I'm in a lot of trouble here. But you see, it comes back to the scripture, for God so loved the world. He loves us. He loves us. And he put himself in us. Now, look at these scriptures. Look at verse 14 of Matthew chapter 5, okay? It says, you are the light of the world. A city is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it gives light unto all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Here we see the first verse. It says, for to you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. We were saved by grace. Jesus came into our hearts. The light of life lives in us. Came and now lives through us. We don't understand all of what happened on Salvation Day. Think of the day that you got saved. When you went from an eternal hell to an eternal grace in heaven with Christ. Oh, people, look. From an eternal hell, eternal. Can you imagine being in the same place forever? In hell, a place of torment. A place where you're in agony and pain, sore. I mean, just full of evil, tormenting you day and night, coming from that because of your faith in Christ, may gave you a new direction to serve him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And now he came as we raised our hands towards him and we received him as Lord into our lives. And now the light of life lives in us. And he is now saying that because he is light and life, we are now light in this world for him. That's why we need to try to watch the things that we say and do, where we go, what happens in our heart. You know, some things happen to us in families. You know, we can't, you know, it just happens. You know, whatever. But our response to that, we can always have control of. Our response to whatever accusation, our response. You know, you ever been accused of something and you're saying, what? I didn't even know about that. You know? And you know it's not true. Oh, it makes you want to run over there and just settle it with a fivefold hand. Fivefold ministry. You all five in one hand. And take care of it. But you know that it won't be the right thing. You see? That's why God talks about we need to watch what comes out of our mouths. You know, we need to even watch in ruining people's reputation. You got to be careful. Now, some things are said and have to be said because of certain conversations, whatever's happening. But we need to be careful. But God says that we are the light of the world. The light. Now, he is the light. Yes. We are that reflector of light that lives on the inside of us, as Brody preached. We are that light. But we are imminent. We have that light on the inside of us. We got to be careful. As that light is shining on the inside of us, that we are examples of that light. You know, that we give out that light to other people in whatever avenue, whatever way that we can. Christ is the source of the light. We are the reflector of that light in us. John chapter 8, verse 12. If you would turn there, please. John chapter 8. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Chapter 8. Look at verse 12. 8:12. Look at this. Then spoke Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So here he is saying, when we receive Christ as our Lord and Savior, before we did that, we were serving Satan. I mean, that was our father. We didn't know it. Even though we went to church, we did whatever, we didn't know it. We were blind to that. But then our eyes were opened because somebody preached the gospel to us. And the scales fell off of our eyes. And we were able to see like Saul. Be able to see the truth of the gospel. And now we are serving Christ and we have the light on the inside of us. We are to be the bearers of that light, giving life and light to other people. Now, I know sometimes we make mistakes and we give out darkness or hate. Okay? I mean, let's face it, huh? But what you do is when you feel that on the inside of you and something's not right, you go to God and you say, Lord, forgive me for my sins. Lord, forgive me for saying or doing or acting or whatever that way. Okay? Because that's our responsibility, to keep that light shining to the full potential that it can. Okay? We got to keep it shining. No matter what it takes, we got to keep that light shining because people are looking. You know, like I've heard pastors say, it's like, you know, you become a fish, you know, in a fish bowl, and everybody can see as they look at that fish everything they do. That's our lives. Okay? We know God sees everything we do. He sees when we go to Him. He sees when we don't go to Him. He sees when we love Him with all of our hearts. He sees when we love our brother and our sister in Christ. He sees those things. We have to act and do according to the Word of God. Now you may say, Pastor, sometimes I don't know what to do. I understand. But for the most part, all of us know when we lose our anger, huh? You don't have to go down on your knees and say, Lord, did I lose my anger today? Just ask the people around about you. And, you know, and hey, the Bible talks about, just don't sin not. You know, be angry, but sin not. You have to be angry at that evil. That's okay. And there's a difference between the human anger and godly anger at that thing. But yet the love of God has to be there in the mixed of it towards that person. And so, you know, we have to remember we're the light of the world. The light of the world. Because Christ lives in us. Not that we are gods, people. Don't ever think that. Sermons going around about how we've become gods. You're not a god. No one will bow down and worship you. No one will give you homage. You know, we can give each other respect, which God does require, and love towards one another. My life and your life is an example to the world. It says this in the scripture. It says, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and He gives light unto all who are in the home. You see, and that's what God wants. God wants us to be that light that we shine. How many of you have had to go to a sibling or somebody and say, I'm sorry? But I tell you what, I bet you your light shone the brightest after that. Huh? Hey, I'm sorry. You know, I blew it. Shouldn't have said that. Shouldn't have done that. You know, whatever. You see, we don't realize that sin dims the light on the inside of us. Not candles, but, you know, they put kerosene candle, you know, lamp. You had to, you know, trim the wick, you know, and all that stuff. And it seems like the higher you'd go, it's like it just tried to get brighter, but, you know, that black soot, is it soot, would get all over. Well, you know, God expects us to trim and let the Spirit of God trim us. It doesn't feel good. It does not feel good when the Spirit of God starts to trim us. And when He starts to say, Joe, no. Or that's not right. Or you shouldn't have said that. Or you shouldn't have done that. You know. What's that? You're going to lose your religion. Yeah, you're right. But you see, we let the Spirit of God trim. Because He knows what is best for us. And as He trims us, we get brighter and brighter. The Spirit of God on the inside of us. People know where you go to church. You know that? You don't have to play with them any. They know. They see your cars and they see all this stuff. They know. And sometimes they expect more than what we think, you know. They expect us to be perfect, and we're not. We serve a perfect God. But they don't realize that we are on the surgery table, and God is working on each and every one of us. And God is trying to make us into the image of His Son. And he wants that light to shine brighter and brighter and brighter. Because, I mean, hey, he's going to work on us to the day we pass away or till he comes again. Hallelujah. But this is what we do. We submit to the will of the Father. We submit to the Holy Ghost. We submit to Jesus Christ. And we let the power of Almighty God work in our hearts and in our lives. And we let the Spirit of God move in us and change us. Because just when we think we've got over something, God starts to work on something else. Huh? Because sometimes we have some stinking attitudes. That's good, y'all all said, that's good. At certain times, huh? Just don't hit us at the wrong time. No. Amen. Amen. But, hey, but God is a faithful God. That he I hate to say overlooks it. But he sees it and he says, I'll be back to take care of that. You see? So God works on the most important things at the most important times. Cleaning us up. Helping us to have the right attitude. Doing what is right. Loving people. You ever love somebody and all of a sudden they stab you in the back? That's hard, huh? God has to come in with a healing salve and do a mighty work. Because it's hard. But look at Jesus. God sent his son to love the world. And he did it. And the people killed him. Now we know that was, he had to die. He had to die. But they killed him. And we know our God takes care of us. Our God takes care. Now, I want you to turn to some scriptures here. We got to protect our hearts and lives, people. We're the light of the world. You know, most people will not see Jesus. Most people, every zero, will see God. Most people will not maybe sense or feel the Holy Spirit, but they will see us. And they need to know that the God that lives in us is shining forth to the best of our ability. And let me tell you this. I don't want you to leave today thinking, man, I'm nothing. I'm dirt. Let me tell you, without God, we are dirt. But I tell you, with God, we're everything. With God, let that light shine. Let the Spirit of God work in you and through you. Don't ever get to a place where you think you've arrived and nothing more God can do in your heart and life. That's when we need God to move. You see, we need to have a humble spirit before God. We need to have the fear of God. We need to have the reverence of God. We need to worship our God with everything within us. Now look at this. I want you to turn, if you would, to Malachi chapter 2, please. Malachi chapter, which is the last book in the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 2. Look at verse 5 and 6. It says this, my covenant was with him of life and peace, and I gave them to him for the fear wherewith he feared me and was afraid before my name. The law of truth was in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity and did turn many away from iniquity. Now you might say, well, who are they talking about? And we're going to get into a little bit of him. Phinehas. I know you probably, I don't know if you ever heard a sermon about Phinehas, which was a high priest. He had such an impression upon people by the way he lived that he turned many to Christ. You might say, well, that's the Old Testament. He turned many to God. Because of his life, because of how he lived, because of what he stood for, God promoted Phinehas, which was a high priest, of the tribe of Levi. The tribe. You remember the tribe of Levi? Okay. And really, it was, and we're going to read the story, it's because of him that God chose the Levi people to be the priests. Because of his action. Now, after we read, because of what he did, let me tell you this. What you do today and what you do tomorrow will affect you and your family. What you pray, what you ask God for, what you believe God for, will go for many, many years to come. Because the prayers of the saints are never thrown away. That's how much God honors the prayers of his people. You read in Revelations where it talks about the bowls of the prayers of the saints, that God never just throws them away. But when he sees his child praying, he sees a son or a daughter on their knees before God, or laying in their bed, or driving their vehicle, or at work, whatever situation, and he sees a heart after God, he takes those prayers and he does not throw them away. He hears them. And when it's his timing, he will answer that prayer according to his word. We are guaranteed. Let me take this. This is a fact. We are guaranteed an answer to every prayer that the saints of God, no matter if they're a man, a woman, or a child, will pray. We are guaranteed an answer. Jelaine told me yesterday, she said, she was picking songs and stuff. And I know it's Isabella's birthday, but Isabella went to her and said, "Grandma, can we sing Dry Bones? Can we sing Stones?" That's she's listening. You see, we got to capture the hearts of the young. We got to do it, people, somehow, some way. Lord, I'm saying, Father, give me more children, Lord. Not physically. No, I'm finished with that. I'm talking about that's for the young. But Lord, we want children in the spirit realm. We want children here. Lord God Almighty, give it to me, Lord. Give me the old, give me the infants, give me everyone, Lord, because everyone's important to God. The new age or the new church says, get rid of the old, and I'm telling you the truth. Get rid of the old. They don't realize this is the old that has the money. The young don't have it, you know. And the reason is they're buying houses. They're buying, you know what I'm saying? They're having to buy all this stuff. They're starting up. It's hard. But I tell you what, the new churches, they don't want the old people. It's a sad situation, people. It's sad. Or they don't want the young. I mean, it's so sad. But with God, God says, give me everyone. You know, when Jesus sat there and the children started running towards him, and he took them and he put them on his knees and he started talking with them, the disciples they got up and said, we need to get rid of these kids. And look, and I don't know for sure, but I don't know if they took some of them and tried to take them away, and Jesus turned to them and said, what? Don't you take those children from me. They stay right here. And don't you offend any of these children, because it's like a millstone around your neck and you're thrown into the world. That means death. You see, so we want anyone and everyone, because everyone's important to God. Everyone is important, no matter who they are, no matter what limitations they might have. Everyone is so important to God. And if they're important to God, they should be important to God's shepherds and God's people, and loved by their shepherds and loved by their cohorts, their people. But look at this. Look, go to Numbers chapter 25, please. Numbers 25. talking about Phinehas. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, all written by Moses. 25. Starting with verse 1, please. It says, And Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. Now, you know what people he's talking about? He's talking about his chosen people, the Israelites, the Jews. That's who. You got to be careful who you hang around with. You got to be careful who your best friend is. You just got to be. I'm not saying, hey, look, we need ungodly friends. You might say, why? So you can preach to them. So you can give them the gospel. But you got to be careful. And they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods. Now, that's another mistake, number two. Here they are. They serve Baal. And they're calling the Jewish people, we're your friends. Come with us. Come to our feast. Come when we worship our God, Baal. And you know what the Israelites were doing? They were going with them. And it says, And they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods. And the people did eat and bow down to their gods. And Israel joined himself unto Baal-peor. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. Not good, people. Well, good. I'm glad his anger was kindled towards them. Because they were, instead of serving the King of Kings and worshiping and giving him praise and honor, they were going to the enemy of Baal because they invited them. They invited the children of Israel, come with us. Come to our feast. Come with us. And you will see as we dance before our God, as we sacrifice before our God of Baal, not the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It should have been the Israelites telling the people of Baal that, come and let me show you the true God. Come and let me show you who the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is. And they went their way. Now look at this. And the Lord said unto Moses, Take all the heads of the people and hang them up before the Lord against the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may be turned away from Israel. And Moses said unto the judges of Israel, Slay you every one his man who were joined unto Baal-peor. I mean, it's serious business, people. And behold, one of the children of Israel came and brought unto his brethren Midian-tash woman. I know that's not how you say it. In the sight of Moses and in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel who were weeping before the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Now look at this. Look at this. Moses, God spoke to Moses and said, hang every one of them. Okay? The children of Israel went to the tabernacle of congregation. You know what they were? They were weeping. They were crying. They were repenting. Repenting of the things that they had done. And all of a sudden, here we see a man and a woman. One of them, Zimri, you can see that's the name later on. And Cosby, they even name him later on, the woman, full of evil. They served Baal with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. God had called Israel to be the light of the world. And here they flaunt and come into the tabernacle of Almighty God. Shouldn't be. Shouldn't be. Flaunting their sin, flaunting their evil of who they serve and all the evil, can't even get into that, of what they were doing with Baal. Horror, horror, horror. Look at this. And when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw it, he rose up from among the congregation and took a javelin in his hand. And he went after the man of Israel into the tent and thrust both of them through the man of Israel and the woman through her belly. So the plague was stayed from the children of Israel. My God. Phinehas was just there watching. But God raised up this man. Those two came in to the tabernacle where God's people were repenting of what they had done, where they had gone, the evil that had crept into their heart. You might say, well, all of them? No, not all of them, but a lot of them. And here you have these two evil beings come in, flaunting their sin of evil. And the Spirit of God came upon Phinehas. It says he stood up to his feet. He got his javelin. And he ran to the tent where they were at. And he didn't ask them a question. But he ran to both of them. And one, I know we know the lady through the belly. And the other one he killed with a javelin too. And you might say, such horror. Let me tell you this. In the Old Testament, God didn't mess around. You don't want to know why God puts up with evil? Because we're the time and the dispensation that we live in of grace. Unmerited favor towards an undeserving people. That's the time period we live in now. Till the rapture of the church, then that ends the church age. But God did, and look, because he did that, he got rid of evil, he got rid of sin, because you have to remember, these people were repenting. And when they saw the evil walk in, the devil was flaunting and trying to persuade them to get away from the tabernacle of serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And God would not have any way with that. They stepped into another area that they should have never stepped to in. And God took care of it. And rose and raised up a man called Phinehas to go and take care of these two. And rid Israel of their sin and their evil. They became the light of the world that God wanted them to be. People, don't mess with sin in your life. Don't let it rouse you up. Don't let it destroy your mind or your heart. Because I tell you what, as I've heard before, sin will take you lower than ever before. You will go lower than what you ever think. But I tell you what, in God, as you put your faith in Christ, as the light of the gospel comes within your heart and soul, God will raise you up beyond measure to do mighty exploits for the kingdom of God. Amen. Phinehas was just sitting there. He didn't know that he would be used to get rid of the sin and the evil for God. But God raised him up. My God, he said, thank you, Lord. And he wasn't scared to get rid of what was there. People, don't get scared. Get rid of those things. You might say, well, Pastor, how do I do it? Let me tell you this. There's a simple way. There are things that are inside of each and every one of us that we got to deal with. Say amen. 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 There are some things. I know it. You know it. The world knows it. But let me tell you, they don't realize that there's a God out there that died on Calvary's cross, that gave us victory through the cross of Calvary. That is, we can't overcome it by willpower, we can't overcome it by what I think, but we can overcome it by who I put my faith and trust in. And when we put our faith and our trust in the gospel of Jesus Christ and what Jesus did at Calvary's cross, he leashes out. Let me tell you, the Spirit of God to help us in those times that we go through. Because he knows he has to trim the wick. Letting the power of Almighty God come into our hearts and into our lives. Let me tell you, don't let your mind become a cesspool for the enemy. God says to think on things that are pure, holy, true, just, of good report. Yes. Take into captivity all those things by the power of Almighty God and say, I will not be used by the enemy. I will not be used by old Slewfoot for the destruction of a marriage, a destruction of relationships at all. Because honestly, most of the time, what we think may happen never happens. Huh? One day, I was late on my route, and this is my old route. And, you know, you just have a lot of mail. You just can't be there at the same time all the time, you know. And so, you know, I always try to get to know my customers, my people. You know, just do things, whatever. Well, this elderly lady, you know, she told me yesterday she's 96, but she has her driver's license till she's 101. If you live in Abbeville, be careful. No, she drives away. She drives away. She goes to church like in Ebenezer, or I don't know, whatever. Not in Abbeville, but she can't drive anymore there. Just not safe. You know what I'm saying? Well, you know, one day, because I was late, she called my home phone. And so Jelaine answered, and she said, well, is this the postman? No, this is the postman's wife. Okay. Well, I know he's late. Is something wrong? Is he in the ditch? Is he stuck in the ditch? And Jelaine said, no, I don't think he's stuck in the ditch, you know, but he's going to be coming soon. And it wasn't long after that I was there. So Jelaine called me, she said, and she told me the name of who the lady, and she said, she thinks that you're stuck in the ditch. So you see, the mind plays, you know. Let me tell you, don't let the devil throw things in your mind. Somebody answer your phone. And she's like, hey, tell him we all said hi. And let me answer that phone. How you doing? Who? But be careful, people, okay? Be careful. Don't let the devil play with you with that stuff. Phineas, I want you to turn. Look at verse 10. It says, and the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, has turned my wrath away from the children of Israel. One person turned the wrath away. The people, your prayers could turn God's wrath away from a town, from a family, from a country. I mean, our country needs prayer, people. You don't realize how important you are for the kingdom of God and what God wants to do in your heart and life and what he's doing in your family. And it says, while he was zealous for my sake among them, that I consumed not the children of Israel in my jealousy. Wherefore say, behold, I give unto him my covenant of peace, and he shall have it, and his seed after him, even the covenant of an everlasting priesthood. God gave Phinehas, his family, the tribe of Levi, an everlasting covenant of the priesthood because of one thing he did, standing up, people. Let me tell you, look, standing up for what Christ wants you to do and doing what is right, you never know the effects upon your family. Priesthood, because he was zealous for his God and made an atonement for the children of Israel. Now the name of the Israelite who was slain, that's the names, even was slain with Mitisha. Woman was Zimri and the son of Zalu, a prince of the chief house among the Simeonites. And the name of the Midianite woman who was slain was Cosby. Oh, that's some names, huh? The daughter of Zur. He was head of a people and of a chief house in Midian. Just because of one man, God chose the Levites to be the priesthood of the Jewish people. people, let me tell you, they became the light of the example. God saw in Phinehas and him helping all the other ones that would rise up to be godly men that would not stand for evil in the house of the Lord. Now, I'm not talking about letting God work in us. Because, hey, let me tell you, we need a Savior because we're all messed up. And after we get it, our Savior lives in us, he needs to clean us up. And that's what we want. And let me tell you, I can work with anybody that loves the Lord and wants to do what is right and letting God clean up. Huh? That's what the Spirit of God wants to do. Stand up for your family. Do what is right. Pray for them. Seek God on behalf of your children. Asking God to move. Because you might be the only person that stops them from an eternity of hell or an eternity with heaven. See? And so we are the light, just as Phinehas was that light to stand up. And look, it took some guts. It looks like he just, like there was a spring underneath him, it seems like. He stood up, took that javelin and ran to the tent. See, I'm taking care of this stuff. And killed both of them. Let's kill those things that may be inside of us that the Lord is not pleased with. You know, I'm not one that points out whatever, but I'm one that says, come to the cross, where the cross can clean us up. And let the Spirit of God move within us and in us. Amen. Why don't you stand, please? Be that light.